That video speaks for itself, but I would still like to, don't turn on too many because I'm going to have a PowerPoint here. I just would like to go a little bit further into some ideas, and then we'll see what happens after that. Oh, that's a pretty picture, but there we are. Okay, so from the Bad Legs video, you already know much of my backstory of where I am now. By the way, that video, the 23 minutes of that video, was taken from 2.5 hours of interview. And which may mean that I talk too much. I'm not sure. But the interview from which it was taken took place, of course, at Coropun before the New Testament dedication took place. So there's nothing on the video that shows you about that. But what a joy it was to be there, to witness their joy upon receiving their New Testaments at the dedication. I tell you, that was an experience I wish you all could have. And also, of course, to once again talk with dear Kim Il friends face to face. But the next week, after the dedication, we had been there 2 weeks by then, by the next week, and on the day that it was time to leave for what I knew was the last time ever that I would be there, I felt only contented peace. Yes, there was still a hole in my heart from being separated from my other lifestyle and people. I will never again be 100% American. But I'm also content to be here, fulfilling the role God has for me in this chapter of my life. Because wherever I am, God's assignment for me is the greatest there ever could be. And this verse tells it. I love the servant passages of Isaiah. Isaiah 49:6 says, it is too small. He's talking to Jesus. Or God is talking to the servant who we know to be Jesus. It is too small of a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. Now that was a huge thing, but God said, that's not enough. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And when I read that, I thought, wow, that's true for me too. God's assignment for me is the greatest there ever could be, helping to spread the knowledge of His glory even to the darkest corners of this world, where people have not yet heard the name of Jesus. There's a good old commentator of four generations or more ago, who said, who paraphrased part of that passage this way, I will appoint thee to the higher office of extending the knowledge of true religion to the darkened heathen world. And then Barnes' comment was, there is no higher glory for man than to tread in the footsteps of the Son of God. And I get to do that. But so do you, if you take the opportunities to. It's not something for just a few. Full-time or not, God's plan for you, too, entwines somehow going, sending, praying. Your life must entwine with at least one people group that has not heard about Jesus and been trained to be his true disciples. It doesn't end with just dumping the wheelbarrow on them. The training must happen too. An American subculture or an overseas culture? A new culture to sing glory to God around the throne in heaven. Wow. There is nothing that can compare with being involved in making that happen. Nothing. You know, the Great Commission wasn't a New Testament afterthought. Oh yeah, guys, one more thing. Wasn't an Old Testament New Testament afterthought given to a few adventurous men. It was a command given to all his people. Remember what God said to the future Messiah? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Participating with Christ for that purpose, the supreme purpose of the master of the universe, is sheer joy. I love it. In an earlier chapter of my life, I was appointed to go to the Kimmyong. And I loved it. After a while, I loved it. At first, I found them annoying. Now, my role in the Great Commission is working from here, trying to help God's people catch a vision of his great passion that the whole world hear and respond to his love. I am as thoroughly missionary now as I was all those years ago. I tell people, you can cut me straight through with a knife and you would find it's missionary to the core. That's what I am. My passion is to pass on to the next generations an ardent aim to spread the knowledge of God's glory to those who haven't heard the truth about him. Sometimes, despite parents and grandparents who try to hold them back, don't you dare take my grandchildren off to some backward part of the world where I won't see them for years. Or get the kind of education that will put you on track to get a high-paying job so you can retire with ease. Really? Really? And where does that selfishness fit with God's love for the people of all nations of the world? As for me now, I can't be in Corpun anymore. You saw how rugged that valley is, and how, yeah, the difficult the life is there. Now, my missionariness is expressed in these ways. Mentoring future missionaries. Those three gals up there, they meet with me one Sunday afternoon a month, whichever Sunday afternoon fits them. You know, we can't decide on the second or third or fourth because that doesn't always fit everybody. You know, they've got busy schedules, but they all want to be missionaries. And you know, that is a very lonely thing for kids of their generation. And so just getting them together to know there's someone else who wants to do that is so encouraging to them. And so that's Kate and Aaron and Lainey. And then the couple in the long box, the gal there, Tabitha Rice, she started phoning me once a month, then from Florida, now from Kentucky, before she even met Richie, and because she wanted to be a missionary. She was applying with World Team, and she wanted to know about, you know, being a single missionary. How does that work? Well, God changed that. And they met each other, both of them, appointees with World Team, both going to Cameroon, and they didn't even know each other. Now they do. Tabitha was at one point hoping that she could come and speak with y'all too here during the women's conference, but her pregnancy got in the way of that. Yes. Little Mr. Oliver James. And then I do a little mini magazine for children called Great Commission Kids, because there's a huge hole in our churches in North America these days as far as educating our children regarding missions. Huge hole. And this is just a tiny effort trying to put something into that gap. And kids receive this in the mail in their name for free. It can also be downloaded from the World Team website, but it helps in that gap. And then the next one, the next slide here. I also do writing, editing, and speaking of all things. And maintain daily contact with Kim Yalls. That was initiated by them. These young Kim Yalls who went out of the mountains for education and went to universities in cities. They're spread now all across Indonesia. And in Indonesia is an archipelago, a chain of islands, that is as wide east and west as the United States is, but it's islands. So transportation is a little different from how it is here. They're where they have internet, and their favorite way of communicating is Facebook, and they found me on Facebook. And so now I've got 200-300 of Kim Yalls who are friends with me on Facebook, and some of them regularly, in fact daily, I get a message from them, and sometimes they just ask me, they just say, "Hello, Mother, how are you doing?" And I say, "Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?" You know, it's just a contact. And sometimes they'll ask me to pray about something. Sometimes they'll tell me about how things are going back in the mountains, in their home towns. And these are not, you've heard of tribal people who've gone out of their indigenous areas and have tried to erase all identification with their tribe. Not these. They post on Facebook, it says, "My hometown," and it's their village in the mountains of Kimial land. They love their background, their training, their culture, their parents. I think I told the ladies, but I'll tell it again. Kids, Orin and Rosa kid, a few years ago went back for a visit, and they were visiting some women who were digging in their sweet potato gardens on the mountainside, and just chatting to them in Indonesian, and these were the Kimial women dressed as Kimial women are. And the ladies were digging sweet potatoes and putting them in their net bags that they would hang on their heads and carry home. And all of a sudden, Orin and Rosa heard this ring, like a telephone. And they looked around, "What's that?" Because there's no cell service or anything like that at Corpulent, so that wasn't even a possibility. Well, this one lady took the net bag off her head, put it on the ground, fished inside among the sweet potatoes, pulled out a satellite phone, and answered the call from her son, who was studying in university on one of the other islands. Now, this son had wanted so much to be able to talk to his mom back home that he bought this satellite phone, pays the bills, and can calls his mom. And let me tell you, satellite phones are expensive, and the use of them is expensive. But that just tells you, you know, can you tell I love the Kimials? So I love having contact with them. So these things, the mentoring, the writing, the speaking, and message chat with Kimials, and the Great Commission kids, those are not many things, but they do take up all the energy I have to give to anything other than keeping myself fed, clothed, clean, and healthy. Just those things. But you know what? It is a great gift that God has given me in narrowing down what I can do to only things that are of eternal consequence. Think of that. Wonderful. You know, it is a part of God's desire for people from all languages and nations to one day, as I said, be in heaven, in that choir, around the throne. And there are still huge gaps in that circle. After 2,000 years since he told us to go and tell, there's still huge gaps. And I see God putting that vision into the hearts of some fantastic young people. Fantastic young people. I hear people complain about the younger generation, you know. They say, are you kidding me? The ones that I rub shoulders with are streaks ahead of where my generation was at their age. And they are going to be the leaders of their generation. Let the cry of the 17th century Moravian missionaries be ours. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. Thanks. That's all I have.
Could we take a couple questions if we had some questions? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone have questions for Eleanor?
Mm-hmm.
Back here.
Thank you. Miss Eleanor, you talk about the young. What about us old?
Oh, yeah. All right. Friends of mine came this evening all the way from Houston. Who can answer that question for you?
We're about to, Trisha just turned 66, and I do next month. And God willing, the visa papers will come through well, and we will be gone to Trinidad within about 6 weeks after that. And there's no limit to the age of people who can go. The senior years provide you opportunities that younger people don't have. The years that we worked and have provided some funding, some Social Security that helps fund our mission. So it's just, there's just more ways. The older you get, the more opportunities that there are.
And tell... Oh, sorry.
We're going to be reaching out to Muslim people.
And tell them what the area leader said about that.
Well, they told us that our age would be an advantage because of the respect that they have for people of age. So it works.
Mm-hmm. And I just have to share, I have a newsletter, and it has, and even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come.
Uh-huh.
When you put that up there.
Thank you. And we're going to get your contact information as well and keep in touch as you hit the mission field. Absolutely. Other questions?
So when you arrived there, how long did it take you to learn the language?
I didn't ever finish learning the language. But when I first got there, there was a caretaking couple who had been in that, who had been there for a few years until somebody could come who could stay permanently. And so they had me live in their house while mine was being built. And they said, while you are here, we will do the cooking, the laundry, everything. You just concentrate on learning the language. So I did, 8 hours a day. I concentrated on learning Kimyal. And when they left after 3 months, I could sort of understood what people said when they came to the door to sell me their vegetables. And in 6 months, I said my first public prayer by, first of all, making a generic prayer that I could insert things in. But my first spontaneous prayer that they asked me to pray was for one of the communion elements. And I actually said in the prayer, "Thank you, Lord, that you gave us these to forget you." Wrong word. I meant remember.
Wow, that's great.
Yes. But, you know, they don't care. You know, the people don't care. As long as you're trying, that's what they may have snickered silently to themselves. I don't know. And I started translating after 18 months. That was way too early. But I was at a point where it had to be done. And I later, when I learned more language, completely changed everything that I did then. But they say that I heard when I was out there that you could learn what you learned in the level of fluency that you reached in Indonesian in 6 months took you 2 years in a tribal language. They're that much more complex, complicated, difficult, which was true, which made it fun, challenging.
Wow. Okay, anything else?
Could you maybe sing something in that language? Or at least a complete sentences?
Oh, say something, sure. Yeah. Sumnene wineno. I'll not yone yone imyong dimyonimi ombat.
And now we need the interpretation of tongues.
Yeah, I said, today, here now, I have told you various things that God did to get his word to the Kemyals.
Amen. Thank you. I'm going to close with a prayer. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You won't stop me?
No.
Okay. Please join me. Father, we just want to thank you so much for this report tonight, for Eleanor and her ministry, and for this weekend, Father, the ministry that took place with the ladies. We give you the praise and glory. We pray, Father, that this edification and encouragement would be a spark for anyone that could be considering your will for their life and what you're calling for them to do. And Father, just make use of these things for the glory of Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone that is still confused or thinking that somehow their ability is an issue, Father, open their eyes to see that it's not their ability you're looking for, it's their obedience and availability, because Father, you provide the ability, and I thank you for that. So Father, in all these things, we give you the praise and the glory, Father, and we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.